Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a series of short discussions on various topics related to the Microsoft Cloud Platform. Your hosts, Kendall Roden, Cynthia Krang, Kale Teeter, Evan Basilik, Russell Young, and Sajid DeMello discuss a specific topic on each show to give you a high-level overview of that topic and resources to get more information should you wish to dig further. For more information on our show, please visit our website at azpodcast.com.
So welcome to the Azure Podcast. We are here with our special guest, Craig Wyant. He's going to talk about the new feature that we introduced a little while ago called the Serial Console. He's actually know him back from the support days. He's now with the Azure engineering team, and he's going to share kind of some of the interesting things about that service, what it does, you know, what we're trying to solve, stuff like that. We've got most of the rest of the team is off having fun at various internal and external conferences, so it's just Kendall and myself, Evan Basilik, today. So Kendall, why don't we go ahead and get into it? Anything in particular you want to highlight from the releases?
Yeah, so I actually do have a couple of things that I wanted to touch on, one of which isn't as technical, but it's something that I think is really interesting. And for people who are looking to get Microsoft certifications in Azure, they have a lot of really exciting updates coming in terms of what the Azure certification paths are actually going to look like. Within the October-December timeframe, they're actually going to provide an Azure administrator, an Azure developer, and a solutions architect track. And then hopefully in this coming year, they're actually going to introduce over 10 new roles that you can get certified in. And I just think that's really exciting because any opportunity to get some of the latest and greatest Azure knowledge into those exams is going to be really beneficial, especially for people in the field who are looking to become MVPs and things like that. So that was exciting. And then also really cool public preview, Azure NetApp files. So pretty much, it can be quite difficult for enterprises to migrate applications or deploy applications that are file-based into Azure. So having this NetApp connection will really allow for, a lot more ease when it comes to deploying some of those file-based workloads. So that's pretty exciting public preview. And then I think I may have had one other. I thought this was really neat. So for another really interesting course is the Kusto query language that's used for all of the Azure services. There's actually a Pluralsight course that was just released this past month where you can deep dive into what that looks like. So I know for me specifically, I sometimes struggle understanding and translating what I think of in a SQL mindset into the Kusto query language. So I think that's going to be really awesome for anyone that just wants to get a little bit better when it comes to querying their data connections within Azure or creating some type of, any type of service that you're going to want to do queries on. This is, I think, a really great, great thing. Monitoring services, things of that nature. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of cool things going on.
Yeah, no, that's great. The Kusto one, we use that a lot internally, right, because a lot of our own services dump their data to internal Kusto instances, and we use that query a lot. I was actually just doing some work on that the other day. So, yeah, no, it's good to see another resource for that. Some other ones out there. So I got to talk about SQL Database, right? My old buddy. The feature that just went GA is the auto failover groups, right? So this is very similar to always on failover, and it basically replicates between the different databases and allows you to kind of failover between them as necessary. Now, it's a little interesting because in some ways, SQL Database has this built in, right? Because it's kind of under the covers, it does some of that. This is about extending that to, if you want to different regions, different data centers, right? Those kind of things, where you get the geo replication as well as the replication within local. That's, really telling, right? Not that I want to bring up a painful event, but we did just have a pretty nasty storage outage in North Europe. And when something as low level of storage goes out for as long as it did, right? Services on top of it were also out, like SQL Database, like other things. And so we did have customers looking for, hey, how do I, make sure to replicate my SQL Database to another region so that I'm not just relying on, this one region. And something like this feature, lets people do that. The other one that caught my attention was, and it feels like we're running out of names sometimes because we now have the Azure Data Box Disk, which is different from the Azure, the name just left my head. the old hardware-based appliance that we had.
Yeah, the thing that we talked about a couple of podcasts ago.
Yeah,
yeah, totally. There
Data
are
box,
a lot.
I think. I think it was just Data box. But now we have Data box disk, which is, you know, similar concept, but it's, you know, on an SSD-based option at that point, right? So it'll be faster. If you have more data, you can bring it over faster at that point. Obviously, shipping is probably still going to be – shipping is still shipping, but, you know, getting the data onto the disks is going to be faster at that point.
Also, I feel like on behalf of Cynthia, we have to talk about the fact that the Azure DevOps projects went into general availability, because I know that – brought that up in a previous podcast session, and now that's going to be more readily available for people to use. Which, so that's just a quick blurb. Shout out to Cynthia whenever she listens back to.
Yeah, she's off having fun somewhere, right? So we're covering her topics for her.
Exactly.
Yeah. The other thing that I want to mention, again, we've talked about this a lot over the years, but Azure Monitor now has container health monitoring capabilities, right? We just added this recently around the Azure Kubernetes service. And who would ever thought we have a day where we have this Azure service where we're crowing about the fact that we're monitoring Kubernetes, right? Like, it's just like the world is flipped on its head, right? We're focusing on that.
But
just another, you know, just a further indication, right, that Kubernetes is here to stay. It's definitely the way to look at it, right? We're tying it more and more into the platform. So, okay, great. Well, so that's a nice roundup. Appreciate the help there, Kendall. I think at this point, let's turn it over to Craig, get you to introduce yourself, kind of share what you do and have done here at Microsoft, and then we'll start talking about the serial console.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, Evan. My name is Craig Wyan. I'm a principal engineer with the Azure development team working on our serial console feature, as you said. Evan and I have known each other for quite a bit of time now. I was a member of Microsoft Services for a number of years and have enjoyed my time working on the serial console project, which was actually had its roots in a request from our support services and for our customers that experience trouble with their virtual machines in Azure.
Yeah, and this has been a long-standing feature request in Azure, right? Is when you can't RDP to these VMs, traditionally it's like I'm kind of stuck, right? I you know, maybe I can get a screenshot, maybe I can get some console logs, but there was no bi-directional capability to manage this. And we always had these customers calling saying, "Well, can't you just go to the console and you know, I'll tell you what to type or whatever." And obviously for security and compliance reasons, like, I can't even be in that chain. So you guys were able to solve that, but you're not using kind of the Hyper-V console, right? You're doing a completely different design there.
That's right. Yeah, so just as you said, kind of in the early days of Azure, this was one of the the original features that was requested, and there were certainly some challenges around how to architect this such that we provided console access, that is a look and feel similar to that if you were sitting at a terminal of the virtual machine that you're administering, but at the same time create it in such a way that it was not opening any security flaws. The Hyper-V console, as you know, requires connectivity directly to the Hyper-V server that's hosting the VM, and so that would require us opening a bunch of ports out to the internet to allow people to connect into that.
Not going to happen.
So we had to think of a different way in which we could kind of provide the functionality. And so effectively, the you can think of the serial console as using kind of a reverse proxy style approach where the host kind of connects out to a proxy, and we had the portal connect in to that same proxy, and then we kind of join the two in a secure manner is really how to think about it. But as you said, you know, for years, sadly, we do have issues with virtual machines in Azure, as our support services folks well know. On both Linux virtual machines and Windows virtual machines. And so historically, the way in which you've connected into those machines is through, as you said, either RDP or SSH for Linux. And so if you have a problem that affects the proper functioning of either of those two services, say your VM isn't booting properly, or your virtual machine for whatever reason doesn't have an IP address properly configured, or it has some sort of problem that prevents its networking stack from coming up, then the machine is basically inaccessible, right? And so in the past, what we've done is kind of a bunch of hijinks where we have to try to get the operating system disk off of the virtual machine that you're using and attach it to like a healthy VM and then see if you can mount that disk as a data disk and kind of troubleshoot it offline and hopefully you get it working.
Yeah, and hope you got all the commands right and hope you got, you know, your fingers are crossed and everything. It's just, it's a lot of kind of manual steps, manual effort to do it.
Yeah, super painful. And it's not something that, you know, customers could do by themselves. And so inevitably it required a phone call or some sort of walkthrough with some of our services folks. And in general, you know, these things don't happen super often, hopefully, but when they do, they're just super painful to recover from. So that was kind of one of the driving impetuses for Serial Console. And so the idea is that you get a command line into the console of your machine, kind of regardless of its health state, so to say. And so with Serial Console, you can, you know, see it from, if you reboot a VM in Azure and you're connected to Serial Console, you can actually see the thing post, and it'll go through, and it'll give you kind of the same type of output that you would traditionally see if you're sitting at a monitor attached to a, you know, physical machine.
Yeah, so you're basically mirroring that, you know, that same information, and now you're just seeing it in, well, I guess a little window that's embedded in the portal somewhere, or like how do you access the Serial Console?
Yeah, it's right there. So today the service is in public preview. So if you click on a virtual machine in Azure, either or Windows or Linux based or BSD or whatever it happens to be, if you scroll down inside the support and troubleshooting section, you'll see you know, a little icon there that says Serial Console and in parentheses preview. And so if you click that, it'll actually initiate one of these sessions on your behalf and try to connect to the console of that machine. So for Linux, you know, the text-based serial experience has been there, you know, from day zero, right? So you know, all of the virtual machines that you provision from the Azure Platform Image Repository or Marketplace Images traditionally will have a Serial Console style experience. And so that should pretty much just work for you unless you've done something like you've hardened a build or you've uploaded an image from on-premises and didn't necessarily follow all the kind of steps to prepare that image for Azure. For Windows now, Windows is used to a graphical user interface style experience, right? And so if you have a Windows machine that you've uploaded or have been running in Azure for quite some time, you may not have anything that's listening on that serial part. So Windows actually has a feature in it called the Secure Administrative Console, and you can think of that as a text-based Windows administration utility.
Is that kind of similar to I think we called it, it used to be the Windows Core? But maybe with more features and functionality, but is it going to kind of feel like that, you know, hey, I'm in the Windows machine, but I've just got my console?
A little bit, but it's actually even a little lower level because, remember, we're starting to battle some of these things that, you know, cause boot issues and that sort of thing. And so the SAC is actually implemented as a kernel mode driver inside of a Windows. And so you can connect into the SAC console, and you can do certain administrative tasks inside that console. And then if you need to, you can launch a traditional user mode command console and then, you know, run PowerShell or run whatever kind of command line utilities that you want to run after you, you know, provide a username and password, of course.
So you're probably going to be in here doing stuff like messing with the registry or, you know, maybe doing you know, a system file check, you know, things like that, right? Or maybe attaching, detaching disks, stuff like that?
Quite possibly, yeah. You could do like a system file integrity check or, like you said, a classic scenario would be, let's say you managed to get a machine in Azure, but you've disabled the RDP service, right?
That's so not going to go very far, traditionally.
Right, in the past, you'd be in a world of hurt, right? So today you could connect into the SAC console, essentially, and then say, you know, geez, SC command line and just enable the service, and then you're connecting through RDP and you should hopefully be off and running. So it should take those experiences which were in the past were very painful and kind of make them something which enable our customers to self-service, right? You know, one of the goals of this is to make it so that customers can do this for themselves and not necessarily call into some of our support services, right? Just as you said, there's lots of scenarios involving kind of privacy and passwords and that sort of thing, which is really better for folks to do for themselves rather than kind of ask somebody to do on their behalf.
So I have a quick question for you, just so that I understand. When we're talking about scale and scope for an enterprise, like let's say they have, you know, a large amount of VMs that they're running, is this something that they would use if there were issues maybe with all of them? Or would you really be using this if you had a particular issue with one specific VM? So what does that like scope and scale look like for management using this serial?
Yeah, it's a good question. So today we really envision it as being kind of a troubleshooting based experience, right? So it's kind of like your traditional administrative experience is still kind of RDP or SSH, but if there's something that's preventing you from using that, then Serial Console is certainly a good avenue for you. We've been kind of somewhat surprised in some of the uptake that customers have already started finding kind of new and unique scenarios to use it in. For example, some customers want multi-factor authentication when logging into their VMs. And so what they found is that if they enable multi-factor authentication into the Azure portal and you still have a kind of a password-based experience when you log into your VM, then now you've got multi-factor authentication to VMs. And so I really kind of use that as an example of how, you know, customers tend to kind of innovate and kind of extend. And so I think today we envision it as kind of a, if you have a problem with a set of machines, maybe you use it to troubleshoot one, figure out what the problem is, and then you have some sort of other mechanism to, you know, scale out if you need to do it for hundreds of machines. But, you know, certainly in the future, you know, we may have asked to extend that to some degree to create a more of a channel similar to what SSH can be used as.
So I'm really interested in this multi-factor scenario. So what does that end up? Where does the multi-factor piece come into that with the console? Does the console in essence allow you to put in that PIN or?
Yeah. So the browser, you get a browser-based kind of multi-factor authentication.
Oh, that's pretty slick.
The browser, right? So and even just to bring up the Azure portal, you've got to be able to do multi-factor, and so you kind of the portal then becomes kind of your
I see what you're saying. Yeah, yeah.
So because you've already multi-factored into the portal today, you only get the Serial Console experience through the portal, then you've kind of validated that you're multi-factor off.
Okay, rather because we don't really allow it to put MFA to the machine login, given the way that we've got it implemented today. Okay, that
for
makes
today.
Sense.
Yeah. Yeah, but you can see like there it kind of opens up different avenues, right? You can we've also had some customers talk to them about, you know, what if I wanted to do, you know, have the notion of an air gap network, right? Where I didn't have on-premises communication. You could see those types of scenarios arise. So we haven't. There's lots of kind of thought that needs to go into how the Serial Console is used, but it does create the opportunity for new scenarios.
It also feels like there's some potential here that now that this functionality exists, right, and we see this in a lot of different worlds, but now you can push back into Windows and say, hey, what kind of things in Windows are difficult to solve with only an RDP connection and that we could make easier to solve or easier to fix or do, right, via a Serial Console. Now you can actually push and drive for improvements and changes in Windows to say, hey, we have this Serial Console. If we make this change in Windows or we do this, add this logging, whatever it is, now you can access it and leverage that through the Serial Console, right? Before, it didn't do any good to make the change in Windows because there was no way to expose it.
Yeah, it's a great point, and we have a really good relationship with kind of our partners in Windows, and so that we do have ongoing conversations about that now that we've kind of made this as
it's a thing
an
now.
Accessible feature, right? Yeah, something that for folks to think about, how can we best leverage it? Because frankly, you know, it's something that folks that have been using Linux you know, have been doing for quite some time, right? A text-based kind of serial-based administration functionality. And so, you know, the experience in Linux in some cases is a little smoother, you know, frankly, than using in Windows. And so there may be opportunity, as you say, to kind of improve that experience as we go forward with Windows.
Yeah, it's really great to see this feature because I know, you know, when we had the CPU vulnerability come through in January where that was, you know, disclosed early, so we had to accelerate the platform reboots and the like. You know, we had just like any, and I think you mentioned this earlier, right? Anytime you reboot a machine, there is a risk it won't come back up, right? It's not really an Azure thing per se. You know, Azure makes it more difficult because, you know, the primary mechanism is RDP or SSH, but that's just kind of a thing associated with reboots. And when we had all those reboots come through, we had customers that were stuck. And I remember talking to you about, hey, could we leverage this? Because I knew it was in, I think you were in even private preview, may not have even been that far. And I was like, no, it's only this little data center and only this kind of, you know, little way. And it just wasn't really there. But, and now, not all my friends in engineering and support, I am not wishing for another repeat of January. But if something like that happens, it's great to have this extra, you know, trick in our tool bag at that point to recover some of the machines that then it just was super difficult to recover.
Yeah, it's a great point. You know, kind of the classic scenario, honestly, is the FS tab scenario in Linux, right?
Yeah.
So for those that aren't familiar, like let's say the scenario is you want to add a data disk to your Linux VM. And so you add the data disk, and then you need to configure the operating system file system table to be able to recognize the partitions that you've added into your Linux VM and where to mount it, basically. You can say, okay, you know, slash data and associate it with this new disk, right? Well, edit, it's a text-based experience, right? So you have to edit a text file.
It's pre-boot, basically, at that point, right?
Well, you can do it when you're adding it, exactly. So what happens is you edit this text file, and let's say you get something wrong. And to actually do this properly, we actually want you to use the GUIDs that identify the partitions based upon the – versus, like, the order in which the disk gets mounted, basically.
Right.
In any event, so in some cases, you know, you're in a text editor, you're putting GUIDs in, you've got the spaces need to be correct, the ordering of the columns need to be correct, right? So it's hard in some cases, right, especially if you're not a savvy Linux administrator. And so the reason why this is such a challenge is because the FS tab file, as you mentioned, is really only going to become enforced the next time that you reboot. So like let's say you get it working with a manual mount right now with your data disk, but you've messed up the FS tab file. That problem doesn't happen until weeks or months from now when you reboot the VM and then all of a sudden it doesn't come back up. And effectively it's waiting at a console depending upon your configuration and the Linux distro you're using. It may be as simple as it waiting for you to press a C to continue at some serial console prompt that in the past has not been accessible. So it could be as simple as a couple characters off an FS tab file and you can't press C to continue. And so, you know, kind of the quintessential scenario there is you can now connect in through serial console, hit your C, the thing boots, and then you go back and fix your file.
Then go make your change.
So Craig, I'm curious, what has the, obviously when you went into the creation of this, you probably had a lot of feedback coming because this is, like we've talked about, something that's been long awaited and people are probably very excited about it. But what has the feedback loop been now that it is in preview and people are using it? Are you seeing that they are finding new scenarios that y'all are taking into consideration that you hadn't considered? Or is it more of we have a lot of different scenarios and we're kind of taking the ones that are the highest priority and focusing on those first?
Yeah, you know, I think by and large, the kind of the usage and the excitement around it has been extremely positive, and we've seen a good bit of uptake in kind of the usage of it. You know, in some cases, as Evan said, we've actually, early in the preview days, we were kind of accelerating the adoption for kind of some of these one-off scenarios and actually gave our CSS team the option of manually opting customers in for, you know, even before we went to public preview. You know, I think, you know, that we will have scenarios where, you know, this it provides a great benefit, as we've seen. There are some scenarios from certain customers that, you know, quite frankly, adding an additional avenue into connections for their virtual machines is something that they want to evaluate strongly before they kind of use, right? So if you're a banking customer, how do you think about having an additional a console in the cloud somewhere that allows you to connect to your VM? And so we have seen some requests to be able to kind of limit its availability and that sort of thing. So you
RBAC on top of it or something like that.
Right. So today, if you disable your boot diagnostic feature, the serial console is disabled as well. And so we're also looking at, you know, is there something in between on and off, or how should we think about making sure that customers can enable and disable it in the way that they want to.
Now, can you do this? And that raises an interesting question. When do you have to make the decision that you want this? Like, do you already have to make that decision before your machine is broken? Or is it done, implemented in such a way that, like, hey, crap, my machine's broken. I need to go back and turn this on.
Yeah,
like, you're not stuck.
It's a great question because once you realize you need it, it's probably too late. Yeah, so assuming that you have provisioned your Windows machine with SAC, which if you provision with our image repository within the past several months, you've got it on.
It's there, okay.
If not, then – so it's really the – you can think of it as kind of the – the communication lines into your VM are open and available, and then the question is really, is anything listening on that serial port on the other side? So traditionally, you know, most, unless your Linux machine has been configured not to do that, it should be there. For Windows, again, if you provision within the past several months, it should be there. If not, it's a couple BCD edit commands to turn it on.
That's what I was going to say. So is, and this is maybe something we can follow up on to put on the website that goes with the podcast, but I assume there's some steps somewhere that says, hey, how to turn this on if your image is older than a couple of months, because, you know, I can see lots of people want to go back and, you know, potentially add this on top of existing images without having to rebuild their images.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're continuing to involve our documentation, but those steps are certainly in there today for Windows.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, because, yeah, that's one of those, like, oh, I didn't provision it right. Now I'm toast. I can just see that being a painful day. This was great, Craig. I mean, this is a huge advancement for the platform. I would like to point out for the audience that this is our, you know, kind of a recurring theme for us that, you know, Linux today actually has a better experience than Windows, which, you know, you and I have known each other for, we won't go into a number of years, a long time now. And I, like, when we first met, never would have predicted that would be the case right around here. But that is very, very frequent, more and more so. Kendall, any last questions from you to Craig?
I don't think so. This was really enlightening for me. I really enjoyed learning about this. This is something I didn't know about before. So I really appreciate all the knowledge you brought. And I think a lot of people that hear about this will be excited to dig in more and learn how they can leverage this.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, guys. I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, thanks, Craig. At this point, we will. So, Kendall, by the way, our story is, if, you know, Sajid and Kelly, anybody comes on, we had the best show ever, right? You know, ridiculous numbers of listeners. And so they're never allowed to come to another show. But no, guys, I hope everybody else is having fun. We will talk to everybody next week.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any comments or questions, please use our Twitter handle at Azure Podcast. Background music has been taken from ccmixter.org. Under the Creative Commons license. Thank you, and see you next time.